Blog Talk Radio.
On IMTM Worldwide Radio. This is Around the ATL. It is officially June 1st. We are halfway through the year of 2021, y'all. 646-652-4479 is the number, of course. We have a lot to get to in these 2 hours. It's been a long time since we've done a 2-hour show. I figure, you know what, it's the first of the month, and it'll be appropriate to be able to pull it off because we have a lot of stuff going on in Atlanta sports, and we need to go ahead and catch up just a little bit, of course. So before we get started, of course, we want to give some shout-outs to some of our social media partners and friends out there who listen to the show on a regular basis, to include Falcons Nation, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Game. We'll be talking a lot of Falcons today. Of course, Julio Jones. We are the G, Savage Dogs of UGA. Hadn't gotten to college football just yet, but we will. New Pack City, where I'm doing a Facebook. Actually, I did not click it yet, so let's do that real quick before I forget. Let's see. That's my bad, y'all. Doing a Facebook Live in the New Pack City page right now, currently. Now we are. Atlanta Hawks Nation page, Atlanta Braves fan group, Tomahawk Talk, Atlanta FC fans, and the Atlanta Dream. We're going to be talking some Dream basketball tonight as well. Don't forget to go to the Originative Brand page on Instagram. Make sure you hit up Jamal Price. He's the owner of that company. If you want your Atlanta Hawks gear right now, you need to go ahead and go to his page and order it, as we are going to be continuing in the playoffs for at least... Well, let's see, people be like, no, Chris, you can't go that far in ahead. Yes, I can. We're going to the next round very soon. Make sure you're following on Instagram and Twitter. IMTM Radio is on Twitter. IMTM Worldwide Radio is on Instagram. And you can listen to all past episodes of Around the ATL now on officially Amazon Music, also Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. So as we wait for our co-hosts to get here, let's go ahead and talk about what we will be discussing tonight. With a dominating performance on Sunday, the Atlanta Hawks are poised for a franchise-changing win in Game 5 of the NBA playoffs versus the Knicks. This team had a tumultuous season and easily could have been, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, and just forget about it, right? And they did not choose to do that. And instead, a coaching change was made, plan of action was created, instilled a belief in the players, and one of the greatest turnarounds occurred. So we're going to talk about what happened on Sunday and what the keys are for tomorrow's win. The Falcons, of course, we're talking about Julio, the Braves. We know Ozuna's situation. We'll talk about that. Atlanta United, they're in eighth in the Eastern Conference, but only 7 points behind. And, of course, the Dream right now is
third. Oh, my gosh. Did y'all just see that?
On live radio, live video, I do not know what that was, but that was messed up. Came right at me, too. Y'all saw that on live video. I can't even edit that. Anyway, we'll be talking about the Dream and their season so far as well. It looks like my co-host is here, so let's go ahead and get him in the show. Our co-host is newly a writer of Dogcast.com, former writer of Sports Illustrated Bulldog Maven, and contributor for ATL All Day via FanSided. His name is Jordan Jackson. What's going on, Jordan?
Chris, what's up, sir? My apologies for being a little bit late, but it was for a worthy cause. I was celebrating my mom's birthday, which was actually Sunday. She turned a big 73. this past Sunday. So shout out to moms. Happy birthday to her. And I'm going to tell you, she was very excited that the Atlanta Hawks got a win on her birthday. Like, she was just super happy about that.
Not bad.
So, yes, sir. So, you know, shout out to moms. Shout out to all the moms out there. You know, we couldn't do it without y'all. We wouldn't be here without y'all. And with that being said, you know, just such an exciting time, sir, in Atlanta sports, particularly with the Hawks, man, which we're about to get into a whole lot. Man, I just love this basketball team, man. But with that being said, sir, let's get into it.
So, the facts of the matter is that a team that a whole bunch of people said was going to win just beat the mess out the Hawks. The Hawks had no chance whatsoever. I guess now people are starting to realize that's not quite true. Last Sunday, the Hawks beat the Knicks in resounding fashion, 113-96. The Knicks gave the Hawks their best punch in that first quarter. Then after that, not so much. Nothing really happened to even really make you believe the Knicks could win the game. John Collins came roaring back with a stellar game. Hunter played his tough defense again. Clint was manning the middle. Bogey was hitting shots. Of course, Trey did his thing. And off the bench, Gallo and Red Mamba did what was necessary to widen the gap. We'll talk about some stats in a moment. But also what happened is we saw the Hawks show a little bit of edge, you know, that they can punch back sometimes literally. And really, it's funny that after all what New York had been doing and got away with and things of that nature, now they're so touchy now when the same thing started happening to them, especially in game three. And now, you know, when it comes to trash talking, now all of a sudden, after all what they said, even before the playoffs started, how we get the Hawks, we're going to maul them, we're just going to beat them up, it ain't even going to matter. And then Julius Randle, you know, basically saying, well, they double-teamed me, good luck. And, of course, that ridiculous Bullock statement. Now when the Hawks start snapping back, all of a sudden, we don't care about all that talking and things of that nature. It's not important. We're just trying to win and things that, you know what, tomorrow, again, as I was mentioning in the beginning, is a potential franchise-changing series win. I posted something on Twitter, if you follow me on Twitter, IntellectATL, because nobody picked the Hawks to win. All the prognosticators and media people said the Knicks are going to win this series. The networks didn't even want to broadcast any of our games. They would rather put Minnesota and New Orleans and Charlotte up every other night, it seemed like to us, you know. And they're not going to the playoffs. They're not in the playoffs, you know. But you also have people who didn't even know the name of our stadium somehow, right? And they still believe that this team is the 14-20 team or the 60-win team from 5 years ago. So it's going to be very interesting what happens as we get ready to close this out. So, Jordan, go ahead and give us a little bit of your take. And I actually do have a caller, so keep that in mind, too. And have I lost Jordan? Jordan, are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am here. First of all, I want to give a shout-out to the photographers who are providing the images of this series. Man, there have been some spectacular images from this series, to, you know, the picture of Trae Young surrounded by Knicks fans and him turning and glaring back at the crowd, to the photo of Clint Capella blocking the shot and doing the Mutombo finger wag. There's another photo out there that shows Randle going to the basket, and you have Capella, you have Collins, and you have Hunter, all with hands, face, just shielding the rim like they're you know, defenders, the guardians of the rim. I mean, just tremendous photography. As far as what's said, and just real quick, I want to read a quote real quick from Clint Capella. You know, he's like, we can push guys around too, and we can talk ish as well, and we get a win with it. So what are you going to do about it? And I just love the mentality, sir. And I'm going to tell you, you know, the nickname Red Velvet, if I'm not mistaken, her Twitter name, the first person to ever say Red Velvet is a woman who's known on Twitter as She Be Cool. And she's the one who, the first person I ever heard say that nickname, and it's stuck to the point where it's even one of his nicknames listed on Basketball Reference. But we're going to have to come up with a second nickname for him, sir, because he's smooth like Red Velvet sometimes, but he's also rough, sir. Kevin Herter has been an enforcer for us in this series. He's not standing for this mess. He's not going to back down from this stuff the New York Knicks are doing. And I think it's just a beautiful thing, man. And Trae Young, man, I mean, we can go on and on for days about these kids. This guy is ready for the big time. He's the smallest guy out there, but he's the baddest dude on the court. And he's letting them know about it, you know, when he's out there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you get to the caller, sir, because, you know, we got so many thoughts on this. But those are my initial thoughts, sir. And like I said at the beginning of the show, I just love this Hawks team, man. I think this may be my favorite Hawks team of all time at this point.
646-652-4479. That being said, we're bringing our first caller of the night. Go ahead and tell us where you're calling from and your name. Go ahead and try it again.
Gentlemen, good evening.
John, what's going on, man?
John, what's up, man?
Woo-woo! Boy, I did. Man, now, I got to get to something. I got to get to something right quick because this has been bothering me. Now, Chris, you and Jordan, in the New Pack City group, have you seen the various infractions that I have been posting that the New York Knicks are doing? The things that they are doing to the Hawks that the referees are not catching and that the referees aren't saying anything about. Now, the most egregious one to me is this man blowing in Trae Young's head or blowing on Trae Young. Now, gentlemen, that is so offensive to me. I can't – if I had been down at Phillips Arena, they would have locked me up. If they had thrown that on the Jumbotron, I would be down there on the floor. Because, see, we are still in a pandemic, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We're still in a pandemic. Now, who's to say who has it or doesn't have it until after the fact when they say you got it? And, see, doing stuff like that. Now, it was already offensive enough when Lance Stevenson was doing it to LeBron James. Okay.
Yeah, right.
But this – in this environment right now, that cannot go on. And I'm wondering, because I hadn't heard anything from the NBA about it. I hadn't heard anything from anybody about it except that clip, okay? And see, that cannot be tolerated. That cannot be tolerated because, see, the thing is, you infect somebody, you endanger the whole team for the next round. Because they got to go into quarantine. I don't know how extensively they're testing these people or whatever, and I don't really care. But that is something that you do not do. Because, see, if you blowing on me, that's the same thing as you spitting on me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, real quick, you know what, John, though? The reason probably we hadn't heard about it is the same reason that we didn't hear anything when LeBron James did what was wherever he was at, and he didn't get punished or anything. So I think everything goes, you know. I mean, you know, you got people getting spit on, and the Knicks didn't want to press charges. The NBA didn't want to press charges. And we still really hadn't heard anything about that from Adam Silver. So I just guess, you know, that's where we are right now, I guess. I don't know.
Real quick before you go ahead, John, I just want to say you're absolutely right, sir. And I saw the video with him doing that blowing, and it's just ridiculous. Like you said, it's already disrespectful, but it's even worse than a pandemic. And, you know, you guys know I'm a man of peace, you know what I mean? But I was incensed when I saw the video of Trae Young being spit on. Had I been there at that game in New York, they would have had to take me to the hoosegow because – you know, spitting is the most disrespectful thing you could do to a man. You know, when I grew up, you spit on somebody, one or two things would happen. You were slowing down on that. Like, it was either a battle till somebody is out cold or the police arrive. That's it. And so I totally agree, sir. Like, it's just ridiculous, that type of behavior.
Yeah, and see, then I'm looking at, okay, do you remember the flagrant foul that they called on Kevin Herter when he grabbed that same person? Like, what is that man's name? Nelson? Norman?
Noel.
What, I don't
Noel.
Know.
Noel.
New Orleans Noel.
Yeah, yeah. when he grabbed his leg. Now, he had kneed Herter in the leg coming off the screen. Herter falls down. He falls down, draws the foul, and Herter, you know, he said, hey, man, don't be doing that. And then he going to get up and try to say, don't do that and all this type of stuff here. You know, come on. Come on.
Real quick. Also, what you're missing in that exchange is he tried to step on Kevin Herter's hand twice after Herter went to the ground because he didn't really fall. He stumbled. And he didn't really fall. You can see him step back and try to step on Kevin Herter's hand twice. That's why Herter threw his leg like that. And I just don't understand how you can watch the replay of that. It charged Herter with a flagrant for throwing his leg, but you didn't see him trying to step on Herter? You didn't see that. It's amazing.
Oh, now, I didn't see. I'm going to have to look at that because, see, I didn't see that part myself. But if you, yeah, I'm going to have to look at that. But, see, I know that he need Herter in the thigh and called
yep.
Herter to stumble, you know. And then when he fell, Herter, you know, grabbed his leg. And I was wondering why Herter grabbed his leg, and that was a good reason to do so. And, see, then you got Randall running around there trying to play jail ball. And I remember in the last few minutes of what was it, game two up in New York, he threw his shoulder into Bogdanovich and knocked him back. Bogdanovich crumpled. And referee standing up there looking right at him.
That was an elbow, sir. That was an elbow.
Yeah. Okay. See, it was real quick. It was real quick. And see, then he slings his arm around in Bogdanovich's face and catches him on the jaw. Man, look here. I'm telling y'all, see, Chris, I know you wanted us all to come down there because you wanted us to get there early. But, see, I would have left early. I would have left early, Chris, because, see, I went down there on the float. And, see, I'm telling – and I took a 2x4 and a bullwhip, and I wouldn't have had to say a word. I'd have let my wood and that doggone cat of nine tails start talking.
We've already seen Randall a couple of times, and of course what he did, you know, to John and everything. And I've already kind of, they hadn't hit me back yet. I don't know if they're going to before tomorrow, but I hit up, you know, Goldberg, I hit up Sting, I hit up WCW because, you know, we might need some extra security tomorrow night. You know, we might have to have our own lumberjacks out there or whatnot because if it really does fall to that. You know, it can get ugly real quick because referees may or may not do anything as they have not really been doing anything up till now for our players. And when it gets to where, you know you're not that good at the end of the day, you know, because you're only scoring 0 points like Reggie Bullock or 1 point like Noel, you know, 12 points, 6 points like Todd, you know, you're not going to win. So at a certain point, and especially you're at home, you're just going to show, okay, well, we're New York tough. That ain't the way to do it, but, you know, I'm worried. And also, too, with the fans, because since the fans are so, you know, bold now, you saw at the Washington game, fans just ran out to the court. And we don't know what these, you know, I'm like, are we going to have to see a player actually get shanked before something happens? Because, you know, you don't know what these fans might just get a straw and sharpen the edge. I don't know what their intentions are, and I don't care. They shouldn't be allowed to do the things that they've been doing. And these are playoff games we're talking about, y'all, that all this stuff is going on. So between the Knicks and what they've been doing, all the foolery, and then you also have to worry about the fans spitting on us or whatever, you know, I am a little bit worried about how tomorrow can pan out. But on the court, just playing-wise, though, we should win the game, you know. So that's the positive thing that will come out tomorrow as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, it did get ugly. And there's a lot of stuff that was not called, and I'm hoping that, you know, the officials or whatever, they band together and be like, okay, we can't let it get wild, because, one, the Hawks are not going to back down, you know, and the Hawks are going to retaliate. You know, this is not your grandma's Hawks. I've been saying that for the last couple of days. This is not, you know, those who would just be sitting on the bench with their hands on their head. It's not the same team. So they need to be ready. They need to be expecting something a little bit come tomorrow night. 646-652-4479. Anything else, John, for Sunday and or tomorrow?
Real quick before you go, John, I just want to say I agree with you, Chris and John. And to look at that foul, and they didn't call it a flagrant because Randall had the ball in his hands, but you cannot convince me that Randall did not know what he was doing by throwing his elbow down into John Collins' face like that. That was intentional, sir. And what they are, you know, they want to try and claim that they're physical and all that. No, 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 it's not that, sir. They're mad because they're getting their butts kicked, and they can't beat the Hawks playing basketball, so they're trying to beat them in the sport of MMA is what they're trying to do. And I agree. We got to stand up to them. I agree. But it comes a point in time, particularly if we have this next game in hand in New York, we're going to be careful not to get too deep into those antics, because the thing of the matter is we have a series to worry about next round. They're going fishing. You know what I mean? And so, you know, while we got to be physical, we can't get too caught up in it, because they would love to get somebody suspended for the next round knowing that they're not going to be there. John?
Now I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. But one thing that has to happen, those officials at the beginning of the game need to set the tone, even if you call both teams together and say, look, we are not going to have any of this mess that was brewing in game four. We're not going to have none of that mess. Call me over there, because, see, I already know I'm not doing it. I'm not starting. But one thing I make the officials know, if you don't clean it up, we going to clean it up. You need to go out there and do your job, call your foul, and stop this mess that's going on. And watch and see what's happening out there on the floor, because I do not want to look at a game tape and see where you didn't call a foul when these people out there playing that jail ball out there and going outside of the context of the game, because my players are not going to be beat up by the likes of you, no good, thuggish son of a whatever on this floor just because you getting beat up on the floor.
Right.
Okay,
right.
See, that's where I am with it. Because, see, now, a lot of people, they hate the Knicks. They hate the Celtics. They hate See, I do not hate teams. I hate dirty players. I hate dirty players. And when you're trying to play by the rules and you're not getting the type of benefit from the referee you're supposed to be getting when somebody playing dirty with you, okay, it's just like being in a conversation. You know, it's just like being in a conversation. I've told people many different times, when you're in a conversation with me, it's just like being on an elevator. You are at control. We can go up, we can go down, or we can stay on the same floor. It's up to you.
Let me say one thing real quick. And, you know, when you're talking about bully ball and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, as old school guys, we can appreciate the physicality and things of that nature until it goes past that, like Bill Laimbeer like to do all the time. This is not street ball. If you're playing a street ball game, especially if you're on concrete, you're outside playing street ball, you know that's going to be kind of part of it to an extent, especially when people get frustrated and they know they're not better than you or whatnot. You come to expect it. You really kind of accept it until the gun starts shooting, okay? But this ain't street ball. All these guys have careers and they're all getting paid and taking care of their families and stuff. So when you get to the point where you're potentially physically injuring somebody on purpose, that's a whole nother side of it. And, you know, we have the references to the Malice in the Palace and, you know, all the things that happened back in the day, you know, Charles Barkley beating folks. You know, again, you know, the heat of the moment kind of stuff happens sometimes, but the frequency of it, when it's on the basis of it's unwarranted, that's when it really gets dangerous. And, again, when you start having people bleeding and stuff, that's a whole nother level. And like you said, we don't want the, you know, the retaliation to the point of our guys getting suspended, because like you said, they're about, I think Jordan said, they're about to go fishing, so they don't got nothing else to play for, really, I guess, you know, because they know they're not better than us. But yeah, they can mess up our chances going forward if they're managed to get someone to blow their top and all of a sudden there's a 3-game suspension all of a sudden, you know. So that is, again, it's a worry that we have to definitely pay attention to. But guess what? Nate is going to have those guys ready for that too. You know, he already had them ready for probably not getting no fouls called, right? He already had them ready for that. He practiced with that, you know, and he's been talking to these guys all the way through. And you've not, up till now, you have not seen them get rattled. You have not seen them get overly frustrated, you know, when things didn't exactly go the way they wanted it to go and they pushed through. And that's one of the main reasons, you know, I feel that they are up, besides the fact that they're just a deep team, because other teams in the past would have gotten flustered, they would have gotten upset, and they would have gotten their head out the game, and all of a sudden we'd be down by 25 points a game by this same team, you know. So I think that's some of the biggest differences between now and the past. And with the same players, basically, you know, and I think we should appreciate that aspect a whole bunch.
I totally agree, Chris. Let me speak on one more, John, before you go. Let me speak on one more. You had the flagrant foul on Julius Randle against Gallo as well. And this fool, after he flagrant fouls Gallo, he goes to the bench high-fiving everybody. And I tell you, the look on Derrick Rose's face is priceless. What all that's going on, because he's looking like, what are we doing? We're getting our butts whooped, and you out here high-fiving somebody about a flagrant foul? And so, you know, it's just crazy, man. And then Julius Randle had the nerve after the game to say that he's retaliating for something the Hawks did, as if they hadn't been the initiators of this dirty play all the way around. So, you know, I just want to say one thing, though, to Derrick Rose, who, if you're listening, Derrick, and why wouldn't you be, you know, if you want to get off of this loser squad and you want to take the mid-level exception and come join the real squad next year, we'll take you over here, Derrick Rose, because you're a professional. You're still playing good ball. But the rest of them, Joe, he's the only player on that team that I would have allowed to come here in Atlanta, to Atlanta. You know what I mean? If it was up to me. Because they're just a bunch of, you know, just bully balls. Scrubs, basically, you know what I mean, who, you know, their game couldn't back up what the mouth was saying. Now, before the series, they were the ones doing all the yapping, and now, you know, they're doing a lot of crying. And so, you know, I'm just so happy to see the Hawks stand up to these guys, but you guys are right. The refs got to have to put a stop to this early, otherwise it could be a bloodbath tomorrow night in New York. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, and I'm in total agreement, because, you know, there were a couple of people on Facebook and various places talking about, well, we don't need to give John Collins a max, we need to go get Randle. What in the world would I want Randle to give up? Have you lost your mind? I don't want that man on my team. I'd still go down there and whoop his behind, even if he had on a Hawks uniform, if they picked it up, you know. Because the thing is that, like I said, I can't stand bullies and I can't stand dirty players. You know, look, if you can't defend them, outscore them. You know, you get the ball back as soon as they score, you go down there and you score too. You know, that's what you've got to do. And see, I'm still kind of incensed too that the Hawks didn't take that second game up there in New York. This thing would have been over Sunday and should have been over Sunday, but
yeah,
we went ice cold, man. Joker couldn't throw a drop of water in the ocean with the ocean around their feet. You know, I mean, it was horrible. And see, we have, just like you guys have said, we've outclassed them, we've outplayed them, and hey, Chris, now, they didn't want to show us on TV. They were dragged kicking and screaming to put us on ABC this weekend.
Yeah.
And I think Bob Albert is going to close out his career in Madison Square Garden tomorrow night with our game. Okay, this is going to be his last game calling basketball in Madison Square Garden. But the thing is, Chris, the most proudest thing that I am seeing right now, They are having to give us props.
Yeah,
we don't
man,
have
true.
To beg for them no more.
No choice. No choice.
Yeah, Sunday,
no choice.
I mentioned that online a lot, is that by default, because especially ESPN with all the foolery they've been saying up till now, is you're seeing in real time what the outcome is. There's no way you can facilitate and try to legitimize anything positive on the Knicks when they're getting their brains beat out on live television. There's no way you can do it. Reggie Bullock, 0 points, 33 minutes. Taj, 6 points. RJ Barrett had a decent game finally, 21 points. And Derrick Rose, of course, 18 points before he fills it out. But nobody else on that team helped him out, and they got destroyed. And then it wasn't even that close, truthfully. You know, so eventually they had to start saying positive things and actually saying how good this team really is. Chuck has said the other night how, man, the Hawks just have better players, you know, and they're starting to realize, wow, they're actually being coached by a real good coach, and they actually have won all these games in a row at home, and they actually have to start saying the stuff that we've already known, but they've been ignoring on purpose, obviously, because why wouldn't they saying it before? So it's refreshing on that end, and we'll see how, you know, this TNT broadcast goes, you know, tomorrow, because I really don't really want to watch it. I'm probably going to just listen to 92.9 and put the TV on mute, you know, as far as that goes. But at least we have that turning. And again, once we get to the second round, it'll even increase even more, I believe. But it's been a long time coming. Because again, this is not a fluke. It's not an accident. This is real. These players believe in themselves. The team believes in themselves. And I think the city is, you know, a lot of the city is now turning towards that too. Because there's still a lot of naysayers, you know, slow your roll, don't believe and stuff. But I'm like, if you're not going to believe now, when are you ever going to believe? Like, seriously. So 646-652-4447. Now I'm about to wrap up this first segment. Jordan or John, you got anything else before we go?
Well, real quick, because you mentioned watching the television broadcast, but listening to, shout out to Steve Hoban, our guy, on 92.9, and I was actually speaking with Steve and Mike Conte on Twitter, and he was saying that even though the radio is ahead of the television, the Odyssey app is not. So you can actually, if you have the ability to pause your television, you can actually pause your television and allow it to sync up with the Odyssey app, and you can get a great listening experience that way. I did that this past Sunday. Every now and then I switched the audio on the TV just to hear what they were saying about the Hawks. But I like to hear our guys, yeah, man, because our guys are so enthusiastic, you know what I mean, and they're going to tell it like it is, you know, from our perspective. So I would certainly recommend that to all of the listeners out there. Doing that, especially if you're not able to get Bob and Nick on the call. Also, John, you mentioned we should have swept them, and you're absolutely right. Now, we did go ice cold. You're right. That's a big part of it. But I got to say, you know, that loss, well, a big part of that loss was on Nate McMillan. He left the bench in too long.
Yes,
and
sir.
I was a little concerned, a little upset with him after that game, because after the game, he said he liked his rotation. And so when he said that, you know, me being so used to Lloyd Pierce not changing anything, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. He liked his rotations. But you know what? The next game, he changed it. He switched it up.
Yep.
And there was never a point in the next game when Trey or Bogey was not on the court. He was gathering his lineup. He, you know, when it was time for bench guys to come in, he may have three bench guys out there with two starters or three starters out there with two bench guys. And I thought it was just a masterful job he did staggering the lineup over these last couple games, particularly in game three and in the second half of game four. And so even though our bench is better than most in the NBA, you still don't need to have all five bench guys out there when the other team has starters on the court. And, you know, I just got to give all the credit in the world to Nate McMillan for switching that up. And I'm telling you, since he's done that, it's going to be almost impossible for the Knicks to go on big runs against us, because they're not going to have the opportunity to play against all five bench guys at once with Derrick Rose and Randall still in the game.
And see, well, and I'm going to say this and get out of you guys' hair. Well, two things. Gentlemen, I'm looking at my channel guide, and the Hawks game is on Valley Sports South tomorrow night. So it's going to be two places you can watch the game. You can watch TNT, or you can watch our guys on Valley Sports South tomorrow night. Now, second thing, James Brown put out a song 50 years ago. I don't want nobody to give me nothing. I'll open up the door and get it myself. And that's exactly what these hawks have done. They went and snatched them some respect. They didn't have to ask for it. They didn't have to beg for it. And that's the best way to get it. Go and take some doggone respect to where they have to acknowledge you. They have to recognize you. They have to show you.
You're right. You're definitely right on that, man.
But look at Valley Sports out now. Dominique and what's his name? They're going to be on Valley Sports out tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, Bob Raffin.
Yeah, Bob Raffin, yeah. So you can look at our own local folks. Steve Holman have you on the roller coaster, Jack.
Oh, man. Yes, sir. But that game this past Sunday was not on Valley at all. So the only options was either to listen to the broadcast or sync it up with the radio guys. And, man, you know, Steve is always fantastic. And shout out to Bob as well, who was on our show right prior to the playoffs. He was fantastic as well. And I thought it was just so great that since he didn't have to actually do the game, he was pretty much on Twitter interacting with the fans all game long during that game Sunday. In particular, right prior to that, I think it was Saturday night, he had followed one of the Hawks fans back, and I think his Twitter name is Nate McMillan's burner account. And, you know, the guy was so ecstatic that he got a follow back from Bob, and I replied, he's like, "Hey, man, Bob's a fan of the people." And Bob responded back to me, "You all are my people. Let's do this." And so you could just hear the excitement, man, from Steve and Bob, man. They're just excited about this thing as we are, guys.
Yes, sir. 646-652-4479. John, as always, we appreciate you calling in. And we are going to have the Falcons segment top of the hour. So if you want to talk some of that particular subject that is out there right now, of course, feel free to call back later.
All right, I'll hit you back top of the hour. Got to do a little cleaning up whatever around the house here. But I'll call you back at the top of the hour because I definitely got to talk about that one. Man, this week is just full of stuff, full of stuff.
Appreciate it, John.
All right.
That's one of our longtime listeners, John Harris, representing the ATL, 646-652-4479. Before I go on break, one thing I did want to mention is one of the reasons that the Hawks are where they are is accountability. And game two, Coach Nate has said that he was cool with his rotation choice. He was satisfied with, you know, he was cool with it until he actually did go and look at the tape. And one thing that was not happening before, and we all know this because it was said by the previous regime that, you know what, I'm going to do, hey, this is how it's supposed to go, this is where it's going to go, and I'm not going to change. Nate McMillan said, no, I looked at the tape and I needed to make adjustments. You see what I'm saying? That's how you win. That's how you lead. That's how you sometimes you got to take it on the chin and be like, no, I can't let this keep happening because this is kind of crazy looking. You know, why would we keep doing this? Because we could beat this team, but not if we do it like this, right? And we lost that game, obviously, right? So however far we get, we know that we can hang with anybody. We know this already. I think the league knows it. But now nationally, people gets to start to see it now because we're actually on TV now. It's going to be really cool. Thanks, John, for reminding people about Bally's as well so we don't have to actually watch the TNT broadcast now. That's great. 646-652-4479. Now we're going to come back talking about some Atlanta Braves. We know we have an incident that has happened once again this season, but this one is pretty serious, so we'll come back and talk about that. Don't go anywhere. This is Chris on IMT and Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta sports talk.
That was a quick break, obviously. 646-652-4479. And thanks to our caller, John, calling in, talking about some Atlanta Hawks basketball. It's a very exciting time, the playoffs, of course. But now let's go ahead and get into the next subject of the night. You know, it's baseball season. You know, it's a matter of now, you know, we're kind of not post-pandemic, we're still in it, but, you know, we have stadiums full and the skies, bluebirds are chirping and everything, and the Braves are trying to do what they can to, you know, get back on it. They're hovering around 500, but this season has had a lot of hits, and we just got another one, so we're going to talk about that. Let's go ahead and get that segment started right about now. So it's just really disappointing to where incidences like what we're about to talk about occur in any sense of the word. And you always want to have all the information out there and things of that nature before you render a lot of judgment. But, you know, when it gets to certain things and you know that there's policies out there, you know, you can only kind of take it so far. You know, if you looked at the affidavit about Marcell Ozuna and you read the charges, you saw the battery, you know, aggravated assault, strangulation, the police actually visibly seeing it themselves, things of that nature. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in. And I had a conversation with someone talking about what's happened previous, you know, in the relationship. And even today they were saying how, you know, well, you know, they're, you know, getting a divorce and there has been a lot of, you know, just animosity, just different words and things of that nature. But the eventuality is, and this is what I have said for a long time, because I have one particular person say, well, excuse these baseball players for being regular humans. And unfortunately, they're not regular humans. That's the differentiation. When you sign a multi-million dollar contract with a company or entity that's worth, you know, $1 billion plus sometimes, and those people have people to answer to on the business side, but then you also have a fan base worldwide that you also have to answer to, and you're representing all of that, that's a lot of responsibility. And you know, when you sign the dotted line, that there are policies, there's conduct policies that are in there. You see what I'm saying? Because it's not just you anymore. You see what I'm saying? You know, when you're an athlete and you're just an athlete before you become a professional, then there's a difference in that. You see what I'm saying? And sometimes you have to make decisions according to that more so than anything else. And in this particular case, it's just really is, I don't even say it's a delicate situation, because one, of course, from my, you know, you never hit a woman. You just don't do that. You know, and if you're having to defend yourself because a woman is actually attacking you, you have a right to defend yourself. But even in that, you have to look at it to be like, okay, well, I got to be careful on how I do that too, unless the person has a weapon or whatnot, right? And I use the analogy of he got game, right? And Denzel Washington's character pushing, he was mad, he was angry, he was upset, and he pushed his wife away, and his wife all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, that's not, I'm thinking of the movie. She hit her head and she passed away, you know, and he went to jail. You see what I'm saying? And those things do happen out there. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's a matter of get out that situation, you know, because you have, you know, your livelihood to think about, you know, this contract, the responsibility of the team, the players, your guys on the team, all that comes into play, and you put all that into jeopardy, you know, and it's just such a bad situation all the way around. Because now, again, you're losing another player. I mean, there's – I just see no way that this – I don't see how he'll be playing, you know, but we'll have to see. Give me one moment here. I got a little message here. Yeah, Warren, what's your thoughts on that?
It's just terrible, Chris. You know, I'm an old school guy raised in South Georgia. I've been in the 229 area. And we were just raised, you don't ever put your hands on a woman, ever. I mean, the only time where it may be remotely acceptable is if you feel like your life was certainly in danger. And at that point, you have to use the minimum amount of force necessary to get out of the situation and get away. You don't do that. And, you know, we've had a lot of these situations where, you know, it's a he said, she said situation. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the women in these situations hadn't always told the truth. Now, I'm not saying in every situation, just in select situations, there have been times where women have tried to bring athletes down by lying on them and whatnot. But in this situation, as you mentioned, the police said they witnessed him put his hands around her neck and choke her, push her up against the wall. They witnessed him strike her with the calf as he had just had surgery on his fingers. At this point, he's done, sir, in my opinion, and he should be. Because there's no room for that. There's no place for that. And, you know, we're about having quality players and quality guys on our teams. And, you know, the main guys I feel bad for and everything in this really is Ronald Acuna and Ozzie Albies. Because this is the guy they looked up to. You know, and so I know they have been quite affected by that and quite sad about it. Obviously, the Braves can't really do anything right now until Major League Baseball rules on it. But, I see this man being suspended for a year minimum, and even with that year, he's probably going to have to reapply and have to apply to, you know, go through a lot of conditions before he's able to come back. At that point, if he is suspended for a year, I don't know exactly how the rules work, but to me, that should be a violation of contract. And the Braves should be able to board his contract and move on, you know, without having to pay him. First come to shove, if they do have to pay him some money, you know, it's probably best that they just go ahead and cut bait, man. And I hate that, man, because I like the guy as a baseball player. He's a fun guy, the whole picking up thing, the selfie celebration. But, man, you can't do that. But what are you doing, Marcel? What are you doing, man?
Part of the affidavit and in the charges and everything was part of it, and this is probably the worst part of it. By the way, he just signed a 4-year, $65 million contract, too. So, you know, as far as the contract part goes. But allegedly, you know, Marcel threatened to kill his wife and did not stop strangling her until Sandy Springs police intervened. There's nothing in there that's good, you know. And again, this is the stuff that's in the news and things of that nature. And again, you're not regular people when you have those type of contracts, when you have that much notoriety around you, you know, all this stuff is open book. You know what I'm saying? And everybody is going to make an initial opinion right off the bat. But some of this stuff is just, you know, it's disheartening because, again, I just feel that when you have previous incidents, you know that there has to be a breaking point and you have to protect yourself more so than anything. And like you kind of alluded to, you know, there's sometimes where the woman in a relationship is trying to get back at someone and trying to do this and that. But you as the player, the athlete, the one in the contract, you have to be cognizant of that, and you have to be quick to break ties if necessary, especially if you have something that has happened before where you have been attacked, you have had a cut or something like that, you've been threatened, you know. At a certain point, you have to make that decision. If you have kids, yes, it's going to be hard, other family members involved and things of that nature. But again, once you sign that dotted line to a multi-million-dollar contract, you have responsibilities as a player to your brethren, so to speak, to the organization that signed you, and to the fan base. Because once you do anything along these lines, it's hard to come back. It's not impossible, but the thing of it is that you're hurting your team, and we already were hurting. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you can say, well, nothing can go, nothing worse can happen, right? And then this happens, right? Go ahead, Jordan.
I don't know if you said who said something about the fact that, you know, he doesn't get to be a regular guy, but whoever made that statement, if you're out there listening, I don't care. You're idiots, sir, whoever made that statement, because beating up with women is not a regular guy thing, okay? You got 95% to 99% of men who are not beating up on their wives. You know what I mean? So that's not even a regular guy thing. But you're also right, Chris, that when you have a major league contract and you know you got more, you know, on the line to lose than the average person, then you have to be especially careful to avoid those situations. And I'll be honest with everybody out there listening. I was about 19 years old, and I was dating a woman back at the time. And she got mad at something. You know, we had a disagreement, and she got mad and started putting her hands on me. And the minute she started putting her hands on me, I looked to see where my keys were at. They were sitting on the corner of the dresser. I took her and I put her down to the bed. I didn't push her super hard or anything like that. I didn't want to risk her, you know, falling off the bed and hitting her head or anything like that. But the minute I put her down to that bed, I grabbed my keys and I headed for the door. She pulled up my shirt, still trying to hit at me, and I pulled away and went straight to my car and left. And that was the end of that relationship, because I was raised you do not hit a woman no matter what. And, you know, some guys out here in this new age time have to believe, well, if a woman hit me, I'm going to hit her back. That's ridiculous, sir. You can't take a punch from a woman. You can't take a slap from a woman. I mean, the only thing that's hurting is your pride. You know what I mean? So you need to put your pride aside and move on and stay out of jail, because, you know, it's one thing, you know, I believe in protecting women. Every woman is somebody's mother. Every woman is somebody's sister, aunt, cousin, what have you. But also, from a practical perspective, it's going to cost you a lot of money to be involved in this domestic violence thing. You're going to have to go to class. You're going to go to jail. You're going to pay bond. You're going to pay court fees and all sorts of stuff. So it's never a good situation to put your hands, you know, on a woman like that. So, man, it's just ridiculous, sir. And, you know, as far as the playing side of this thing goes, the Braves are in trouble, sir. They're in big trouble. I mean, last I looked, they were getting blasted 11-5, and it looks like that's still the score in the bottom of the eighth to the Nationals tonight. We don't have a good bullpen. We got injuries everywhere. A lot of the guys so far have not lived up to what they normally do. And a guy like Christian Pache, in his example, he hadn't really showed that he can hit at the major league level at all this year. He's a great defender, but in a National League lineup where a pitcher already has to hit, you can't have so many automatic outs in that lineup, sir. They're in trouble, and it's a crying shame, because we were one game away from being World Series champions, because I truly believe in my heart we would beat Tampa had we got past the Dodgers. And unfortunately, you know, the media won't give this team the things that it needs. And on top of that, you know, Double A made a couple mistakes this offseason as well, most notably the signing of Drew Smiley, who's not a good pitcher. It's just before he came and showed he's not a good pitcher, and he's still not pitching well. You know what I mean? So it's unfortunate, man. Uncle Terry Connor, if you're out there listening, buy him back, man. Uncle Arthur Blank, buy the Braves. Y'all get together, put your money together and buy the Braves. We need somebody who cares about winning owning his team and not just treating the team as an asset and looking at it from, you know, a cheap budget perspective all the time.
646-652-4479. Now we're going to end the Braves segment in a second. It's disappointing that it's taken this long to still hope and pray that ownership will change, because Liberty Media just don't care. And it's obvious, it's been obvious, and we've gotten fortunate with moves and player development and productivity to get us in a position to still win despite the foolery. But at this point now, it's like if you know, I mean, do they sell the team? I mean, why not just sell the team? Because we can't just keep getting, you know, hit with all these disappointments when we know we are really on that verge, even though we're getting blown out tonight, like you said, it's just really disappointing. And again, every crazy bad thing that could happen this year has happened so far. Although they say Mike Soroka might still come back this year. I don't know, but he's supposed to be out for the year too. Like you mentioned, Smiley, you know, has not been good. Our bullpen has been atrocious this year. You know, a lot of our guys are still not even hitting 250 yet still. And again, it's disappointing also because it's we have Acuña here. We got Hank Acuña, which we, you know, dubbed here a couple years ago, and he's having a tremendous season. And then you got Austin Riley having a tremendous season, and it's just not enough. So I don't know. We're going to see. We're going to find out. We're going to see how this Ozuna thing pans out eventually and be able to take a look from there. Real quick, let's go to the next segment. This is going to be a real brief segment today. That's all of the intro I could do for the Atlanta United right now. So right now, Atlanta United is in eighth place. They just had a match, I believe Saturday the 29th, 2-2 against Nashville. And the one thing about Atlanta United right now is that they're not really all that far behind because there's only a couple of points that divides, you know, eighth place and third place, for instance. I mean, so it's not like they're out of it by any stretch of the imagination, but they do have those four losses, though. They only have one draw. They have 9 goals so far. So, you know, Joseph is now back officially. He's been back a couple of matches so far. One thing I do want to throw out there for people, and again, I hope that we begin to have more MLS fans calling in, Atlanta United fans calling in, is this the year George Bello separates himself? You know, he's homegrown, you know, from the team standpoint and everything, but it's like he's out there now, and, you know, when can we see something really dynamic and consistent from him? Because it definitely still can't just be Joseph and Barco and a couple of others that puts pressure on the other team. So, but right now, like I said, they're in eighth place. It's really early. They have a couple of weeks to rest before they start again. Jordan, how do you feel about Atlanta United thus far this season? And we only got about a minute to go.
I like the style of soccer they're playing a lot better this season, a lot more attacking style. But I was very disappointed that on Saturday that match ended up in the draw because Atlanta United led that match 2-0 at about the 80th minute. And somehow they were able to get, they gave up 2 goals at the end of that match. And so it was very disappointing to get a draw in that particular match because that should have been a victory, to be honest with you, sir. But I do like the style they're playing with a lot better. And I think it's going to pay off for them. We just got to put teams away when we have the opportunity to put teams away, and then we'll be all right. And one of the main reasons why I was kind of upset by it is because we had such a winning thing going. You know, we had the Hawks won, Dream won, and I wanted Atlanta United to keep that thing rolling. But the Hawks came back in on Sunday and, you know, put everything back on track.
Exactly. Well, that's going to close out our first hour of the show, everyone. Again, always thank you for listening in. Please continue to listen. We got our second hour coming up. We're going to be talking some Falcons. We're going to be talking some Atlanta Dream. We're going to be talking about Naomi Osaka. We're going to be talking about some other stuff, too. Make sure you listen to the show on blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide. Follow on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. And, of course, you can listen to past episodes on Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and now newly crowned Amazon Music. It was a long time coming. Very excited about that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL.
You are listening to Around the ATL with Chris and Jordan. We'll be right back with more Atlanta Sports Talk.
Good evening, everyone. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL going into our second hour of the night. Thanks to everybody who's been listening so far and everybody who will listen in the future. Shout out to John calling in early on the Hawks segment. We talked a little Hawks, talked a little Braves in the previous segment. We have a lot more to get into, so not without further ado, let's get started. But before we do that, let's make sure we get our co-host of the show back in. Jordan, what's going on, man?
Yes, sir. I am here. Enjoyed talking about the Hawks the first hour of the show, the Braves talk. You know, not so much, but, you know, we got to discuss the difficult subject on around the ATL because it's a part of Atlanta sports, and when it's what's happening now, you know, it's just such a shame. But, man, you know, back to the exciting stuff, man. Let's get back to the exciting stuff because there's so much exciting going on in Atlanta sports right now and so many good things. You know, this next subject might not be so good to a lot of people, guys. I think it will wind up being working out all right.
Exactly. That being said, let's get started.
Welcome to Atlanta, home of them dirty birds. Anybody hating get kicked to the curb. Any other team is absurd. Wearing black, white, silver. Red is for the blood. No one's scared of getting dirty because we came from the mud and we hungrier than ever. He rides, she rides, we ride together. Birds of a flock, more like birds of a feather. No one here to party until we get the Lombardi. When we giving up, never. Scratch it off your wish list, mark it on your calendar. Eight-town players never playing with no amateurs. 80,000 strong and the fans all screaming. We get knocked down and we coming up swinging and we putting in work.
All right, so here we are in the off-season where, you know, the draft is over. We've gotten our player in Pitts, and, you know, we've had to kind of, you know, pick and choose what we do here and there as far as players, but the end result is going to be very, 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 very different from other years. You know, you had the Shannon Sharpe interview, and did Julio know he was on the air or not? I don't know. Why exactly is he asking for a trade? Did he ask for a trade because he found out the Falcons were trying to trade him, or is he asking for a trade because we weren't going to give him any more money because he's already under contract, or, you know, what is it? You know, is he even really trying to get out of Atlanta? I don't know. We've got to throw all that stuff out there, right? But he signed until 2023. He'll be 35 years old at that point, you know, and again, this is within the second time or the second realm, if it's true that he's trying to get more money within the contract, that he's actually asked for that. And we did it the first time. Matt Ryan restructured his contract. We all know that, you know. And there's nothing wrong with asking for the more money and things of that nature, except there's a little bit of context in that, you know. And there's situations in that, you know, situational context, you know what I'm saying? 3 years, $66 million contract. That's pretty good. So the real question, do you roll the dice that he's going to play those 16 games and be on the field for you all the time? Or do you go ahead and are you really trying to trade him? Because, you know, you're not wanting to just trade him for peanuts, of course, you know, because of what's going to be the result of the trade, you know, cap hits and things of that nature. You know, you want to do what's best for the team inevitably as well. But if you can't find a trade, then what happens? Because at that point, he's still on the contract. Is he? Will we see him on the field or not? There's a lot going on there. It's a lot to think about, and we're going to discuss it. As mentioned, we have our co-host, Jordan Jackson, but we're also going to – actually, we have a caller. So let's go ahead and bring that caller in. Go ahead, caller, tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello. Can you hear me?
You're on the air.
Oh, I usually get an indication, unmuted. I'm waiting for the
lady. Oh, did you know, my bad.
the lady, she's the one that tells me to start talking. She says, unmuted. And then gentlemen, yes, I'm back. You guys want to get started? You want me to?
No, go ahead. You have the floor, sir.
You know, just all of those questions that you just asked, Chris, those are the things that are roiling around in my mind. Because if, correct me if I'm wrong, it was only after this phone call from Shannon Sharp and Julio Jones that a whole bunch of this stuff about trade rumors and this person wanted Julio, that person saying this, whatever, from the Falcons side, it was only after that phone call all this stuff got revealed. Because, am I right or wrong? Now, let me
no, you're correct. For the timeline, you're correct, yes.
Because up until that point, nobody definitively said anything about what the Falcons were planning on doing, that Julio had requested a trade way back in October, that the Falcons wanted a first for Julio at the draft. All of this stuff came after this phone call. So, you know, and nobody still is sure. And, you know, it's just a whole maelstrom of things going on right now. So that, you know, I can't really say how I feel about doing this. And plus the fact, something else too. Okay, up until this phone call, it was speculated, rumored, said that Julio's got to go in order to be able to afford to sign everybody else. But then we find out that there is a way for Julio to stay, and we still are able to sign all of our draft picks, free agents. And as a matter of fact, I think we picked up two free agents today. So, I hadn't seen creative financing like this since I had bad credit and was trying to get a car.
I mean,
New Orleans, because you remember when New Orleans supposedly didn't have a dime to their name, and next thing you know, they're fielding a whole entire team and actually improves the team on defense, you know, with no money. So, so that's why I get out of the capologist's way. You know, I just wait and see what it is they can bring to the team, and then I judge the talent once it gets here. Because, see, man, I have, you know, this is nothing short of amazing that you haven't even carved out the $15 million that you need in order to field a team next year. But you're still signing people. I mean, you clean Walmart, you clean Dollar General, and all of your budget places out. There's nothing left on the shelf for nobody. The Falcons got it all.
And again, that's why I opened as I did, because there's so much stuff that's revolving around this particular situation, and there's probably still bits and pieces we still don't know, but we're going to need to find out soon, because it is June now, and 30 days from now, it'll be July, and, you know, the season is not that far away all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? So resolution-wise, it's going to be interesting how they play this, because we do have a team here. You know what I'm saying? And the team needs to know what's going on, too, at a certain point to be able to say how are we going to go forward and who is going to be basically the number one, because there is going to be a transition at that point. So it's going to be interesting in these next couple of days or a week or so, or whatever. I don't think it will go past that at this point. Jordan, what do you think?
Well, I think it could go past that, Chris, just for the simple fact that the Atlanta Falcons have stated that they're not just going to give this man away. And so if the offers aren't to their liking, they're trying to let these teams bid against themselves and create a bidding war so we can get the proper compensation, you know, for one of the best wide receivers to ever play the game. I just think it's an unfortunate situation. I hear Arthur Blank was very hurt about how that whole phone call thing went down for Shannon Sharp, or Skip and Shannon. And, you know, people have now said that Julio did know he was on the air. So that goes back to what I thought, that no way Shannon Sharp would ever potentially ruin all the relationships he has with NFL players by pulling such a move like that. Not to mention that show is taped in California, and it's against the law in California to record someone without their consent. So with that being said, you know, if Julio doesn't want to be here, fine. I mean, we heard after that call it came out that Julio did demand a trade prior to that. Now, when Coach Arthur Smith talked, he did say what John mentioned, you know, that we do have another way to get under the salary cap. And so, hey, you know, Julio, he may have to sit tight for a minute in order to get traded if these teams don't come with the proper offer. But I do think if a team comes with the offer of a first-round draft pick and we'll pay all of Julio's salary, we could soon if that happens, if that type of offer comes. Also, it could be possibly a second-round pick and maybe a player that we can still fit on our salary cap that would help us. Hopefully somebody that can rush the passer, because Lord knows we can pass rush big time still. But, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just disappointed in the whole situation. I wish they could have found a way to keep Julio. I wanted to see him and Kyle Pitts together along with Ridley and Hurst, you know, to see what that offense looked like. And I felt like, you know, learning under Julio Jones would just be such a valuable experience for Kyle Pitts. But, hey, man, you know, like I said last show, he don't want to be here. He can kick rocks with open-toe shoes on, with his turf toe on his titanium screw foot. You know what I mean? That's the way I feel about it. If I love you when you were talking, but if you no longer want to be part of the empire, then, you know, you're now an enemy combatant. That's the way I see it, gentlemen.
Exactly. 646-652-4479. I just had to interject. The Lakers are getting beat. It's 60-32 right now.
What?
Am I reading that right? 6-0-3-2. Let me hit refresh just to make sure I'm reading this right. Yep, 60-32 with 3 minutes left in the second quarter. I just had to say it, y'all. Anyway, back to Julio Jones. Oh my gosh.
I got a question, Jordan.
Oh, go ahead, John.
Now, Jordan, I got a question, and I want to try to get this straight, because now, Jordan, you said that you have it that Julio knew he was on the phone. I want to inquire as to, you know, what is your source and what did they say and how did that, you know, because see.
My source, I can't remember which radio guy it was, but he said that, you know, it has come out that Julio knew he was on the phone. And the fact of the matter is Julio has not come out at this event at all saying that, you know, he didn't know he was on the phone. So that right there should tell us a lot. But one of the radio guys did say that it's been pretty much known now that Julio knew he was on the phone, that that was not some type of trickery or whatever. He knew. That was his way to get the word out. He was trying to force the Falcons' hand because he wants out. That's what it was. I wish I could tell you which guy it was. I want to say it was one of the national guys on CBS Sports Radio, possibly the Gresh Show on CBS Sports Radio, possibly. Or the other gentleman, I can't remember his name, who does a lot of weekend shows. But he said that, you know, his sources told him that Julio definitely knew he was on the phone.
Now, and see, this is the thing. During the segment, when Shannon Sharp picked up the phone and started dialing and trying to get Julio, the young lady moderator said, be sure that he knows he's on the phone, okay? Shannon Sharp goes right into asking Julio, you know, is he going to go with the Cowboys? And, you know, the phone call transpires, whatever. And then he says, by the way, you're on the air, okay? Now, this was Fox Sports. Now, Fox News has a very bad reputation right now because of the fact that they are perpetuating the lie. Now, that's getting all into politics and all that type of stuff. But it's still
an arm of Fox News.
That's not. Let's not even go there, John. Let's not even go there.
Yeah. That's why I dipped in there and said that, because see, now they do have a very bad reputation about doing things, and Shannon Sharp really, you know, he's spontaneous. And spontaneous to the point where, you know, he'll put you in a whole world of legal hurt and won't even know how or why he did it. And see, for CBS Sports to come on, and Shannon Sharp hasn't said a word. Fox Sports has not said a word in their defense as far as this is concerned the next day, and hasn't said it in a week. Hasn't said anything in a week. Because, see, now, if there was some danger of that, I would suspect that if they were in the clear right, they would have said something. But they might have been advised by legal not to say anything more about it and just let the thing blow over. You know, and see, George, you might be 100% correct.
I don't believe Skip or the I forget the young lady's name that's also the co-host. I don't believe they were in on
it. He was the one.
I believe that Julio and Shannon Sharp, both of them were in on it. And that's why Shannon Sharp didn't tell him that, because, well, they already knew it. You know what I mean? The fact that there has been no lawsuit filed, the fact that Julio has not come out and said, you know, he was done wrong. And, I mean, you know, even though Shannon Sharp is a little bit off the cuff, he's got relationships with a lot of NFL players, man. No NFL player would ever give him any information again if it came out that it was true, you know, he just tricked Julio onto the air like that. So, I do believe it was a publicity stunt.
Let me say this in that regard, because really Julio don't say a lot about anything ever anywhere. However, publicists could do it for him, and for the fact that we haven't heard nothing from that angle, kind of says it as well. You know, because at that point, you know, you would know, okay, well, maybe he was caught off guard or was surprised or whatever, and then Fox would be liable and things of that nature. But for the fact that we have not heard anything from his camp, management, agent, anybody, probably says that he did know, actually, which would also mean why Shannon Sharp wouldn't have said it. Because otherwise, yeah, they're in big trouble. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no way in the world they can get around it at that point, you know, unless he did know. You know, so even with that, though, I still say he should have said it anyway, just for TV's sake, I think, you know, because it didn't look good. You know what I'm saying? It's a perception. Perception is reality, right? You know, but to have it as a publicity stunt, it's like, why go through, why do all this stuff? You know, I guess that's where I'm coming from some of this. Is like, why we got a pitter-patter and all this kind of stuff, and, you know, It doesn't look good, and just for the fact of history itself and the whole, you know, well, if this is what he said and if this is true or not, I want to win. I mean, you know, that's a whole nother story in itself, because then people are going to be like, they're going to start scrutinizing. Well, you know, there's a lot of balls you didn't catch, and you don't be on the field all the time, and then there's the games that you miss. You know, and, you know, so as far as that goes, I mean, because at the end of the day, you got one of the – he and Matt Ryan have had one of the best six, seven-year stretches in NFL history. So somehow or another that's working. But again, you know that there's an underlying factor in the winning part where you have a coach that wasn't really that great of a coach or a coordinator. And our defensive, you know, choices and, you know, drafts and players and free agency have not been the best in the world. And, you know, our offensive always, for the most part, kind of, you know, we can talk about that here and there. And even last year, again, how many games did we lose by 7 points or less, somewhere in there? And there was that one game where all they had to do was fall on the ball. I had never seen nothing like that before in all my Falcons. I was trying to tell my friend Anna, trying to tell her how football worked and stuff. And in that particular moment, I was just left speechless because I couldn't explain why I was just so distraught. She was asking me, he's like, what happened? I was like, I think I'm about to jump off the patio here because I couldn't understand it, you know. So, again, this the principle of it all. It's like, you know what, though? This coming season, with us looks like we're being retooled, we got better coaching straight up. We just know that we do. Why wouldn't you want to stay with this and have, like you said, Jordan, Pitts on this side, Ridley on this side, Hurst. We got running back that breaks a lot of tackles. We have maybe, well, hopefully because we got rid of some of those offensive line guys that were basically bums, we're going to have a better offensive line too. And then on the defensive side, we know we have a defensive coordinator that, guess what, we're going to blitz. And guess what, we're going to have accountability where, hey, you're going to do your job or you're not going to play type of a deal. And we got players that want to make up for their bad seasons last year. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to have better all the way around. And I just don't see why this has to occur at this point. And he's on the contract still, you know. And so for me, it's just the principle of it all. It didn't have to be like this. I don't know why it's like this. And in the season of Atlanta sports that we're having right now, and knowing that, you know, football season is down the road or whatnot, but there's anticipation for it, though. You know what I'm saying? Is again, I use the word disheartening because it's true. So that's all I really got to say about Julio for now.
But real quick, I think you echo my sentiment exactly, Chris. Why wouldn't you want to give these coaching staff a chance? You know, Julio knows how terrible Dirk Cutter is. You know what I mean? And we got a guy who, you know, basically had Tennessee playing at a high level and improved the play of Ryan Tannehill tremendously. And I don't know if you guys have heard in the interviews with Dean Pease. But man, if you don't get excited listening to him, I don't know what, you know, is wrong with you, because one of the problems, the main problems I had with old Sergeant Slogan, Dan Quinn and his crew, was we're sitting here getting shredded, playing a bunch of zones and a little bit of man and not listening to anybody. The thing about it, yeah, we're gonna get beat sometimes, you know, with Dean Pease as our defensive coordinator, but if we get burnt being aggressive. And I can live with being aggressive. And one thing about Dean Pease that he said in the last interview I heard that got me so excited, he says he wants the opposing quarterback to know that you got 11 guys on the other side that can rush the pass. It could be anybody coming from anywhere. He's like, you know, Deion Jones is an inside linebacker. You might see him blitz off the edge sometime. You know what I mean? And that was just one example he gave. So, you know, this guy, he will blitz. He's blitz to get back, coach. If he can blitz to get back, coach. So that's got to make you, you know, a little bit more excited. But I will tell you guys this, man. This is another tidbit I heard. I heard when the fans first got here, you know, they were going over the film from last year of practice. See, you know, how the guys practiced and what they were doing in practice. And that they were shocked at how little they saw Julio Jones on this practice film. And basically, they kind of let it be known that Julio wants to play this upcoming season. He was going to have to come to practice for. It wasn't going to be no just sitting out all week long and playing on Sunday. And so that may be, you know, when I heard that, I'm like, maybe that's why Julio asked for a trade.
Oh, wow.
Because he want to go somewhere where they're going to, you know, allow him to do what he was doing with us and not practice very much. So that could be a factor as well. Now, John, I do have a question for you, though, sir, since you had one for me. I know you're not as big of a Matt Ryan guy as myself and Chris, are. But I have heard that, you know, Julio would be interested in playing with New England because he wants to play with Cam, or interested in going to Tennessee where Ryan Tannehill is. Do you consider either one of those situations playing with a better quarterback, John?
No, I don't. However,
okay,
when you drafted Kyle Pitts, you drafted that man for what? Why did you draft Kyle Pitts? I'm asking you guys. Why was Kyle Pitts?
I think that we could be all around more explosive. I think that, well, for one thing, I think he was drafted because we felt like he was the best player in the draft at that spot, because he has Hall of Fame level talent from what everybody says, and because Arthur Smith is a tight ends guy. He had the third best tight end set across the board of any coach, but he didn't have a Kelsey or Kittle. So they were just trying to get him a weapon that he could use, and I think that the thing was not to replace Julio, was to be just an explosive offense that would include Julio.
So
Matt wasn't going anywhere anyway. That's my answer to that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Ryan wasn't going anywhere, but you drafted Kyle Pitts, well, like you said, for an explosive offense. Now, this man has, what, 4.3, 4.4 speed, I think he has?
Yeah, 4.4 speed at about 250 pounds, 245 pounds. He has the longest wingspan of any pass catcher to come out in the last 20 or 30 years, the longest one.
Now, who going to get him the ball at 4.4? Who going to get him the ball? That's my point. And that's the reason why I say, okay, Julio is not going to go to a better quarterbacking situation than Matt Ryan. Now, those two that you mentioned, no. And from what I understood, Julio wanted to go to a contender, as if he can call the shot. Now, and all of this is speculation. This is what I'm hearing. I hadn't heard it out of Julio's mouth. Hadn't heard it from his publicist, but this is what I'm hearing.
Well, John, let me say this real quick, and I got a caller coming up. The only thing I do say with that is, really, he's pretty fast, and he got the ball a lot last year and got a lot of yards and the whole touchdowns and everything, too. So I don't know. I've always said that sometimes it's a timing thing. I do know, Matt Ryan does not have Aaron's arm. We know that. However, at the same time, he got a lot of yards out of that arm so far. And again, I know we would love maybe to have, but we don't have Aaron here. He wasn't drafted here. There was no way he was going to come here as a free agent. You know, there was no openings to where in the two times that Matt Ryan got extensions, like what were the alternatives at those two times? Because if there were, maybe they would have pulled the trigger possibly, but there weren't. And, you know, you have somebody who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and you have a lot of positives where a lot of teams wish they had one quarterback for that look for time rather than 15 different quarterbacks in the same amount of time. So I always come back to that extent sometimes because I know what people would love, but it's not also reality too. I want to go ahead and bring this caller in because he has been waiting for a moment. Give me one second.
Right.
Good evening,
caller.
Go ahead and tell me where you're calling from, sir. You're on the air. 0822. Yes, sir.
That's me. Yes, I'm calling from West Virginia, from Atlanta. Been up here 6 years. This is what I want to say. Julio Jones has been the GOAT. He has. Think back to when he came in. Roddy White took him under his wing, and then Roddy White got pushed out. Now, I don't remember what exactly happened when Roddy White got pushed out, but it wasn't the same situation. So now we got Ridley, and Jones is kind of pushing himself out, and it's unfortunate. It really is. I'll always have respect for Jones. Now, do you really think that it's because of money, or maybe he's sick of the failing defensive schemes that we run over and over and over? Or do you think he's sick of Matty Ice? Because that's what I'm seeing. Everybody seems to want to take it back to Matt.
I mean, I don't know. It can't be the same. It can't be sick of just the schemes because we got a whole new scheme coming in. So I don't think it could be just that. I could feel if we kept Dan Quinn. You know, if he would have asked out then, I might have wanted to ask.
That would have been legit. If we had somehow kept Dan, that would have been legit. I would want him to go at that point. I probably would go. I don't know. Go ahead, Jordan.
And I just don't understand how he could be sick of Matt Ryan because I just want to add this tidbit. You know, when we were under Kyle Shanahan in a play-action-based offense, Matt Ryan, even though he doesn't have the strongest arm, he led the NFL in deep passes that year. We went to the Super Bowl that year, and that's the type of offense we're bringing in. So it's just a shame that he didn't want to stay and at least see what happens one year. And
that's what
money, I don't know if it could be money because we adjusted his contract when he had 3 years left. He did turn around the next year after that and made him the highest-paid wide receiver. We've made him the highest paid receiver at least two different times already. So I don't know what more he can be looking for from a money perspective.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think, honest to God, I think it really does come down to this simple thing. I think Julio Jones has had some bad outside influences. Think back to when he was training with T.O. I think it was T.O. that came to the suite. Taking a jab at Ryan, a picture with Julio Jones sitting there. That was a public thing. Julio Jones did not come back and squash that publicly. he might have behind the scenes in the locker room. Julio Jones hasn't really been a public guy. However, when he's hanging out with these prima donnas that have proved themselves, no doubt, T.O. is a great player. No doubt, he deserves that respect. However, where does he come off running his mouth, posting pictures of our wide receivers taking jabs at our QB, and then that wide receiver doesn't say nothing to squash it? I think that just proves it. He's had bad outside influences, and it's kind of brought him down, and I think it's really unfortunate. But no matter what, I'm always going to have respect for Julio Jones. He's going to be probably not the greatest we've ever or will ever have, because who knows what's going to happen with Ridley, barring injuries, because that dude's a beast. But it's unfortunate, man. We all love Julio Jones, and we want him to be there. I think he's making a mistake.
Yeah.
What's your
I
name,
think
sir?
He's going to be Brian.
Brian, thanks, Brian.
Excellent points,
yeah,
Brian.
Right.
Excellent points, man.
I think that's what
well,
it really comes down to. But, hey, we still got John Harris on the phone.
Yes, you do.
John, man, I like what you post, but do me a favor. Point to the doll and just tell me where Matt Ryan touched you, bro.
Look. I'm hoping
on,
you got all of the mileage that you wanted out of that comment, sir.
I'm done. I'm going to bed. I got work in the morning.
Hold on. Let me respond. Now, I have posted a 9-part synopsis on the West Coast offense and have shown what it is that Matt Ryan is doing wrong in the West Coast offense, and it's the reason why his yardage total and his completion totals and win totals have dropped over the past 3 years because of the fact that you are taught not to stare at your receivers when you throw to them because you're drawing the defense to them. I posted 2 years straight when we had an opportunity to become the final game on Thanksgiving against the New Orleans Saints, and it would have been a beautiful closer for the Thanksgiving holiday where Matt Ryan is staring at his receiver before he throws to him, and both the cornerback and the linebacker converge on the ball, and because of them crashing together trying to intercept the ball, that's the only reason it wasn't a pick six going in the other direction. Now, Julio Jones has not in all of his career received the benefit of a strong arm quarterback to take advantage of his 4.3 speed on constant occasion. Every now and then he will get something. Every now and then he will get something. But it's not like he was supposed to. And plus the fact, Dirk Cutter, when he came here, his very first time coming here after Mike Mularkey was offensive coordinator, he put Julio in that bubble screen where Julio was being beat up by linebackers and linemen instead of him beating up cornerbacks and safeties. Because of Matt Ryan throwing the ball too high to the man over there and him having to jump in there and catch the ball, come back down to the ground, and then take off running. Now, Julio has 4.3 speed, but you can't get started running at 4.3, peddling in the air like you on the Flintstones or something. You know, now everybody keeps talking about, well, John, what has Matt Ryan done to you? And I post everything that I see on Facebook so that you can see what it is that I'm seeing. Now, if you refuse to see it, that's up to you. If you refuse to acknowledge it, that's up to you. However,
well, I'll give you this. Matt Ryan gets that deer in the headlights. He does, but not all the time like you make it out to be. Julio Jones has not always been used properly. However, Julio Jones, we all know he's faking some of them injuries because he's holding out.
No, we don't. How can you say that?
Bro, he ain't hurt like that all the time. If he was, they would have given that contract.
Why would he? Why would he fake those injuries?
Well, because he's mad. He wants his money. He's got bad outside influences. And I don't blame him for wanting his money.
He
worked it a long time ago.
Wait a minute. How long has Julio been faking these injuries, do you think?
About 4 years. I think about four years this dude's been faking. I think he's been faking some of them injuries. Think about it. You mean to tell me Julio Jones, the greatest wide receiver. Now, keep in mind, I don't know who is training these people because, obviously, we have players dropping like flies, especially around the Super Bowl year. So, and that dude, whoever it was there that was training them, stretching them. He kept his job for a long time. And that just goes back to some of the coaching staff and how foolish they were. Why did we keep Dan Quinn for so long? Julio Jones knows how to work out. He knows how to stretch. He knows how to avoid injuries. The man isn't elite from being stupid. He's faking some of them injuries, man, because he's mad about his money. I don't blame him for being mad about his money. He should have got paid a long time.
That's a very interesting take, Brian. We'll have to discuss
and
that.
And I wish you could support it with some evidence because, see, that's a real interesting take. Because, see, now in 2016, didn't he have a 300-yard game himself against Carolina?
Something like that.
And, yeah, now, you know, 4 years ago, that'll put you back to 2016. Now, he wasn't really injured in 2016. Was he injured in 2016?
No. I don't believe so.
What about 2017? In 2016?
I think it was 2016. I think he had turf toe, and I think in 2017 it was just another mysterious lingering hamstring.
Oh, my goodness.
But did he play all 16 games in 2017?
I highly doubt that.
Because he was in the playoff game against Philadelphia in 2017, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in that game.
Look at the game,
you know,
where he's got all these yards, all these catches. Look how close it is to these injuries.
And while you're saying that, now, this is something that needs to be explained. How is it that Julio Jones made it into the NFL top 100, missing all of those games in 2019, and your quarterback didn't even make it on the list?
See,
I don't put a lot of stock into the top 100 because a lot of times I don't think those players are really seriously trying to vote on that list. You know, I mean, I just have a hard time putting stock in any of these media lists. Because when they put Trey Young number 16 on the top 25 to 25, I lost all trust in sports lists.
Well, now number one, that's basketball, and you know how they are in basketball. Anybody get any more shine than they get, oh, there's a problem. However, and I understand what you're saying, Jordan. I understand exactly what you're saying. But is the Hall of Fame is opinion-driven also, if you look at it.
Here's what we got to do with this different take. We might have to do another whole Falcons segment by itself, but I gotta end this segment now because I still got three more segments to finish the show up. Brian, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. I think it's your first time ever calling in, so definitely tune into the show next time you see
it.
And of course, we definitely appreciate that new take. We had never heard it before. Just continue supporting this team as you have been, man, because I think still we got big things coming. John, of course, we appreciate you calling in, sir. Keep listening to the show. We got a couple more segments. Well, both of y'all keep listening, but we got to get to the next segments, y'all.
All right. Thank you. Much
respect.
Right. Have a good night.
Appreciate it, y'all.
Appreciate it, man. Very, very spirited conversation right there, guys. Certainly enjoyed that.
That being said, we're going to go ahead and get into one of our first segments that we created basically 3 years ago now. It's crazy that we've been around that long. Jordan's Jewels. So, Jordan. You have the floor, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, speaking of the Falcons, just a shame that, you know, we're one of only two teams in this division not to have a Super Bowl ring, because when you look at the all-time record against division opponents, the Falcons have a 53-51 record against the Aints, a 33-19 against the Kitty Cats, and a 28-27 record against the Yuccaneers. Don't need to beat them this year to keep that lead. But that's just so interesting to me when I saw that stat. Not interesting stat to go to the Hawks, which most of this is going to be Hawks-centric. It was full quarter by head coach during the season. Under Lloyd Pierce, the Hawks had were outscored by 65 points in the games under Lloyd Pierce. Under Nathan Millen, they are plus 99 points. They shot 43% from the field under Lloyd Pierce, 47% under Nate McMillan, 35% from three with guys defending in the corner under Lloyd Pierce, 40% under Nate McMillan. A defensive efficiency under Lloyd Pierce, who was supposed to be a defensive coach, dead last in the NBA under Nate McMillan since March 1st, second in the entire NBA in defensive efficiency. That just shows you how big of a difference a coach should make. Julio, you need to take notes. Trae Young, the fifth player in NBA history to have 30-plus points, 10-plus assists, and 5 rebounds in his playoff debut. Only other player to do that was LeBron James. He also is only one of three Hawks players to have 30-plus points and 10 assists in a playoff game, period. The other two, Lenny Wilkins and Pistol Pete Maravich. Trae Young also became the first player to have back-to-back 30-point games as a visiting player in the playoffs at Madison Square Garden since you-know-who, number 23, Michael Jordan. 50 Cent had a tweet about Trae Young. He said, they were screaming, F you, Trae Young, but you know that boy is dangerous. So even the superstars from New York like 50 Cent are starting to realize what time it is. Also, only 5 players in NBA history have averaged 25 points and 10 assists through their first 3 career playoff games, and that is Kevin Johnson, Chris Paul, Steph Curry, Oscar Robertson, and Trae Young. Trae Young is also just the 7th player in NBA history to tally 75 points and 25 assists over his first 3 career playoff games. The other 6 members in this club are Oscar Robertson, Michael Jordan, Kevin Johnson, Chris Paul, Steph Curry, and Luka Doncic. Okay, he also had 10 assists at the half in one of those games, and he was the first player to have 10 assists in the half of a playoff game since Rajon Rondo, who was just on the team this year and traded for Lou Williams, with the Celtics in 2008. Man, he just continues to put his name among the greats. He also joined Oscar Robertson as one of only 2 players in NBA history with 110-plus points and 40-plus assists in his first 4 playoff games. He's also the 4th player to have 40-plus assists and less than 12 turnovers in his first playoff game. The other members of that list are Jason Kidd, Chris Paul, and Steph Curry. Man, it's just truly amazing. I could really go on and on Trae Young's stats, but I'm going to wrap it up here shortly. He's the 2nd player outright to lead their team in scoring and assists in the first playoff game. He has the 2nd most points created, 204 points created in his first 4 playoff games. That's the 2nd highest total in the last 25 years, sir. He's also made 94 shots from 30 feet or longer. Only Damian Lillard and Steph Curry have made more in their careers. LeBron James is the 4th highest player behind him, but he has 94 and LeBron has 48. 2 last things I want to say before I wrap this up. We had a couple of headlines come out in New York papers. One of the headlines was joke from State Farm. Another laugher lost at Atlanta Arena, leaves next season on life support. And the final headline I want to read to you is just a big picture of Rondo with a towel over his face, and it says, Black Lana, Knicks no match for Hawks season on the brink after game 4 route. And that is Jordan's Jewel segment for this season.
Thank you so much. And, of course, we definitely could go on and on about Trae Young and his first playoff appearance so far. But we knew it was coming. He's been seeing it since he was drafted, so it's exciting to get to see it in real time. That being said, we got 2 more segments. Both of them are for the ladies specifically. You know, when we started around the ATL, we wanted to do ATL sports. And one of those teams, of course, in our city is the Atlanta Dream. But before we do that, I have something to speak on in regards to female athletes. So go ahead and get our segment started.
Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to rise in an all-male run, all-male controlled, all-male executed, all-male domain, all men all the time? Do you know what kind of woman you have to be to survive, not only survive, but to thrive and to gain their utmost respect, their utmost regard, and to gain the admiration of not only the men you work with, but everybody who encounters you? Do you know what kind of woman you had to be in 1980? You got to be powerful.
Thank you, Ms. Oprah. Now, we usually play this for the Atlanta Dream specifically, but I want to play it for this particular segment as well, because that word power comes into play. And actually, one thing also, I'm working on a project called The Power of Women. If you follow me on Instagram, on my business Instagram, IMTM Worldwide, and go to IGTV, you will see promos of my project that specifically is directed towards women who are pursuing their goals and how they're overcoming the obstacles with being a woman. So definitely tune in there. Over the last few days, you heard about tennis star Naomi Osaka and how she withdrew from the French Open, one of the majors of tennis. And when you really look at it from just the perspective of, it wasn't because of an injury he withdrew. You know, that makes it monumental, because one of your stars is not going to be there. Someone who they paid tickets to see is not going to be there. Someone who was going to watch, people who are in business pay advertising money because they thought she was going to be there. How is she just going to be long term? I want to read something that I posted on my page. And I actually did a video about it because I wanted to put a visual to it. But I'm going to read this and then we're going to go to the Dream segment, but I'd be remiss of not mentioning it at all. Basically, this is what I said. Naomi withdrawing from the French Open because of her choice to not get bombarded with the same questions over and over, or answer questions purposely asked with negative connotations, is terrible. Reporters should never feel people are obligated to answer the same questions over and over and over and over and over again, and or talk about things that don't have anything to do with the actual sport that they're in or what is actually going on. You know, make someone uncomfortable or straight disrespect someone that they are not supposed to walk out. You don't think that they're supposed to, but they're going to, especially nowadays, okay, because they don't have to take it. Okay. Of course, it's not all reporters, of course. Some reporters are very respectful. They know their boundaries, but others just don't care. And the reaction of her initial statements, I really feel, are horrendous, because they're actually attacking her for making that decision for herself. And then the other part of this that makes it even more messed up to me, that her having to give reasons on the why, which included her having anxiety, how, if you notice her playing, she wears headphones because of the crowd that she is in while she's even playing. She's an introvert, she says. So it takes her a lot to be in the public eye at all, and definitely just to get up there and answer questions, much less than be in the public eye all the time in the spotlight. But she does it because she loves playing tennis, and she's good at it too, right? But the other part of this is that she mentioned how she's been fighting depression since 2018 from the last U.S. Open that she was in from there. And I just wanted to mention again, and this is on the eve of Mental Health Month ending in May, that depression is a real thing, and it carries over sometimes for years as a person does their best to overcome it and fight through it, you know, but are able to perform still at a high level, if it's sports or if it's music or whatever it is, because they're a professional. But for people to be just so animated, I saw the one host on the British newscast or whatever saying that he's a crybaby or whatever, things of that nature, it is not needed, and it's not cool. And it shows how much the media be penalized for stupid stuff like that, because it's not necessary. You don't need to have animosity towards people because. And now what's going to happen is more and more athletes are going to do this. You know, this is going to be a domino effect, because they've taken a lot over the years. You know, I've seen some disrespectful pressers in my day, and I just don't think it's necessary. And I think people need to address it. I think people need to pay attention to it. I think people definitely need to support. You see all the other athletes coming out and saying how they support her in this particular decision, but it shouldn't even have to be that. But for the fact that it is, I felt that I wanted to talk about it. I needed to say it. I think more is going to come out, you know, very soon, but just have to mention that. Jordan, you got a real brief comment on that before we get to some dream talk?
Well, yes, I do think that the whole thing is more, and I'm just speculating here, but I do think it's more about the depression that she suffered through and her mental health than it is about the reporter's questions. I do think you do get into a problem, particularly in these big Grand Slam events, because you have not only sports reporters, you have reporters from entertainment venues and whatnot who are Entertainment Tonight and whatever you want to call it, TMZ and all these other outlets that aren't necessarily sports-related, and some of them can ask the most ridiculous questions. But, you know, I got to be honest, you know, I got to keep it real. Part of playing the sport at the high level is speaking to the media. And when they ask those two questions, he really has to, really say, next question, or I'm just here so I won't get fired, pull a Marshawn Lynch or something. But you don't have to deal with the media in order to play at that level. That's just what it is. We see that in the NFL. We see it in the NBA. But, like I said, back to my original point, I do think that it's more about her mental health, and I applaud her for making this decision for herself. Mental health is important. You know, Ron Artest talked about, a.k.a. Metal World Peace, talked about seeing a sports psychologist after he won a championship with the Lakers, and a lot of people laughed at that and took that for a joke. So maybe now this situation will actually cause people to start taking mental health more seriously. Mental health is important, and I think she should take as much time as she needs, you know, to get herself back together. But when she comes back, she is going to have to deal with the media. And she's a very nice person, you can tell. She's going to have to get, you know, to the point where if it's a crazy question, just dismiss it like, you know, Marshawn Lynch would have just dismissed it. But my main concern with her is that she's all right mentally. And so that's why I'm at with it, Chris.
I don't think she's going to be, like, doing it forever or anything like that. It was just this one time, and it's not that she doesn't want to deal with the media. I think it was very specific in regards to the media in this particular case. But the other part of it is that she was like, okay, well, I'm not going to do it, but you know what? You can find me, and my fines can go to this particular cause and things of that nature, you know, because she does have money. And at the end of the day, they need the athletes a whole lot more than they need the reporters, if it gets down to it. There's some have to be adjusted somewhat because of, you know, now on team sports, you know, like a Marshawn Lynch in football, it's a little bit harder to do it, but these individual sports where they really rely on those athletes to show up, they do have some leverage in that case. So I will mention that as well. The Atlanta Dream at the very beginning of the season had a very unexpected change at the top in regards to the coach. And a lot of people were taken back from it. A lot of people were just shocked, surprised, including the players. However, from that point in time till now, a lot of good things have happened. They won 4 in a row. They just beat New York Liberty, which is cool because that means Atlanta is still in New York. They're 3rd in the East, 5th overall in the league. Tiffany Hayes, Courtney Williams, Kennedy Card, and Monique Billings are really playing well together as a team. It's a very exciting time because, again, the Atlanta Dream just a few years ago were one of the top teams in the league. And I feel that they can get back to that. And I think a lot of people were looking forward to that over the last few years. But, again, we had a lot of injuries and just a lot of stuff, you know, at the end of the day. But the Atlanta Dream is a team right now that they're 4-2. And I know it's early in the season, but I just feel something special this year, especially with the new talent coming in. You know, Kennedy getting drafted last year. We got Ari this year. I think she had 3 points. She only played 7 minutes that night. But I think we have a lot to look forward to, and I'm hoping that, well, one, I can get a lot of Atlanta Dream fans to begin calling into the show because, again, when we started this show 3 years ago, the Dream was one of the main topics I wanted to make sure that was brought up a lot because Atlanta radio, they don't get a whole heck of a lot of shine. And then also I will say this most recently because now they have the broadcast team, you know, and that was a huge moment to start saying that, okay, well, now you have an all-female-led broadcast team, sideline report, the whole 9 yards. I want people to be able to really appreciate that for what it is. So far, so good, Jordan, with the Atlanta Dream. Anything in particular that you can see that is the main reason for their success so far?
They just have a very good all-around team. It's been a different player in certain games. Like the game prior to the game against New York against the Wings, it was Tiffany Hayes with 26 points. Against the Liberty, a game that I was following as it was going along, it was Courtney Williams who was fantastic. 31 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Kennedy Carter did leave that game with an arm injury. Not expected to be out long-term from everything I've heard. But Courtney Williams just stepped up big time. And, you know, with that win over the Liberty, you know, and what the Hawks are doing to the Knicks, you know, I don't really like using the term the mecca of basketball, but you want to call it the holy land of basketball or whatever you want to call it. Atlanta is it. We got NBA TV here. We got TNT TV here. And we're whooping up on New York. So just like we have taken rap music away from New York and Atlanta runs that now, we also run basketball now, sir. With that being said, I'm very excited about what the Dream are doing, the squad that they have.
Man, New York, Jordan just told y'all not even about hip-hop anymore. My goodness.
You know, I'm very excited with the squad that we have. You know, it says a lot when Paul McDonald, who's the third pick, you know, is not even getting a lot of playing time yet, which is cool because she has to earn it, and I love that. And, you know, I think we just have another all-around team. If I could probably add one more piece to this team, it may be another, you know, rebounder, defender inside. But, man, I've been so impressed on what they've done. You know, we spoke with Coach Cullen on here. Definitely wasn't surprised to see her go. But I definitely think the Dream are going to do big things this year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Elizabeth Williams, she did have 11 rebounds. She had 12 and 11. Courtney had 12 rebounds herself, and then Monique had 7 and 8 that particular night. It's definitely a team effort on a night-to-night basis, and that's where it's going to really come into, you know, the regularity of them winning is consistency overall. And that I just think we have a lot to look forward to. And like you said, you know, with sports in Atlanta right now, this is the time. This is the opportune time to become a Hawks fan, a Green fan, a United fan, Braves fan, Falcons fan, because, you know, we have young teams overall across the board, and they're poised to do some big things, I think. So, for sure, and can't wait to see more of them. Hopefully we'll be able to get to a game this year. Haven't been able to do it up till now, but now with the, you know, things kind of easing up a little bit, look forward to seeing that. So we had a great 2 hours of Atlanta Sports Talk tonight, y'all. Thanks for everybody listening live tonight, those who were able to watch a little bit on Facebook Live as I visited different pages. Jordan, tell people where they can find you on the Internet.
Yes, sir. On Twitter, hit me up. Big contingent at home. Twitter at Jordan23ATL. On Bleacher Report at Jordan15ATLGA. Thanks to everybody who's listening to us now and who will listen to us in podcast form. And last but not least, I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe. Talk about these Atlanta, these Georgia sports that I love.
Please keep supporting Around the ATL. Please share the show with people. If you see the show posted, whether it be on Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio, Twitter, IMTM Radio, share it. Post it. Facebook, IMTM Worldwide Radio. If you see a schedule of it, post it. Share it. You can listen to past episodes. Again, Amazon Music is now live for us. Spreaker, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Make sure you follow my business page, IMTM Worldwide. I appreciate that. That being said, we're going to get out of here. Go Atlanta all the way around.
Peace. Go home. Send them suckers home. Thank you.